Welcome to Northeast Colorado Talks here on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR and KSIR.com. I'm Chris Brum. My guest today, State Representative Dusty Johnson, joins us on this Friday as we wrap up the week and kick off summer. Good morning, Dusty. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. Longest day of the year and excited to start it with you.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, most amount of daylight we're going to see all year, and from here on out, it'll be downhill and back towards those shorter daylight hours.
Yes, but not too short because, you know, it's summertime and, well, I don't think it's officially summer yet, but...
No, I don't believe we actually, quote-unquote, start summer until a little bit later on today, but either way, I mean, all you have to do is look at the forecast for the next 3 days, and I think that pretty much tells you summer's here.
Exactly. Yeah, nope. We're going to get the heat now. We did finally get moisture, so not much to complain about on that side.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's been an interesting summer thus far from a legislative perspective. Obviously, you guys aren't in the legislative session, but that doesn't stop the world as a state legislator from turning, so to speak.
Correct. Yeah, so we are out of session. Still keeping just as busy getting out to events, not just in district, although that is my priority and I'm spending most of my time in the Northeast, but also across the state, to sum up what we've done, make sure we have that rural voice at the table when they're doing these legislative updates, which is just as important, if not more important. We need that rural voice while doing legislation, but then we need folks, and that's just inside the Capitol, so 100 people are listening, the members, and then outside a session, making sure they understand either the poor effects that it's going to have or the reason that we did certain amendments for rural Colorado, for the masses, for the people, because they're the ones that vote. So making sure it's been my priority trying to get to as many of these things as possible so we keep that rural voice alive, because it does no good to anyone if we... you know, we beat the drum, we have a seat at the table for 4 months of session, and then if we're not around for the next 8 months, and then the people across Colorado aren't hearing about it, it's going to be hard then to get the their respective members back engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a never-ending issue. It's those concerns, those issues that you mentioned, they don't magically go away just because the session isn't currently going on. They're there year round.
Yes, and this is the time where we get to go through and either say, you know, the good things that happen for people to look forward to, how can they utilize these laws or these programs that were just created, or what can people expect, because ignorance is not bliss. It's not, you know, above the law. So we're going to have to explain to folks, you know, especially our businesses, what's coming down the pipeline, what do they have to start prepping for to be in compliance. So that's a huge part. And then watching how some of these rollouts happen, because then that's how we prepare for next session to see what do we need to mitigate or what do we need to promote more of. But the good news, bad news is we get stuck in our bubble here in Colorado. I've had the chance to travel to, one national convention so far in Chicago, to look at different, less government policy ideas. I'll travel to Boston, Wyoming later this year. Rural America is about in the same boat of, you know, we do things different than the urban city people, but policies aren't catered to that. They aren't allowing for it. They're always one size fits all. I wish I could say it was just a Colorado issue and rural in the nation was better off. Unfortunately, it's a rural issue across the board.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing more and more of, is that many of us share these same concerns, issues, problems, whatever the case may be, regardless of which state you reside in. And it's good to know that there are folks out there beating the drum to make sure that rural areas, not just rural Colorado, but rural areas in general, get the representation that they need. Dusty, what are some things that you have planned locally then?
Yep, locally I am making my rounds. The easiest way to get things down the pipeline, like I said, is talking with people, doing a lot of meetings with the local government. So right now, I've been trying to schedule all of the county commissioners because they're the local hub for information, so they can help also get this information out of what just happened in session. As I get those planned, I'm also starting to plan legislative review updates across the board. So I have one on July 8th in Julesburg. I'll have one in Morgan County here next month. I'm going to plan one for all the counties. I know some members do it right out of the gate, right out of session. I waited a bit to see which bills the governor may or may not sign, so we could explain that as well, along with looking at how the different agencies and departments are looking to implement what's happening, because then I can better address, yes, something passed or didn't pass, but what does that mean going forward? That's why mine are going to be, quote unquote, a little later than people might expect for a legislative update, with session being done in May and we're almost in July. But stay tuned as I plan those across the counties as well, to talk directly with everybody and they can come and say what their issue topics are and we can go from updates from there.
Well, and I think you highlighted it the best when you said that, you know, the people are the ones that vote. They're the ones that need to have their voices heard, and there's no better way to find out what those voices have to say than to meet with them in person and let those folks speak and share their thoughts and opinions. From a more broad perspective, recently, since the last time we had a chance to chat, we've seen some stuff come out about sanctuary counties across the state of Colorado, and I know a few in your district made the list. Is that right?
Correct. Five of the seven counties out here in Northeast Colorado. So Phillips and Sedgwick were the only ones that did not make this list. But the presidential administration, Trump's administration, came out with a list claiming which states are sanctuary cities. We found out some of the disconnect was his list was for sanctuary cities for immigration. The list that our counties truly were on were the list for these Second Amendment bills. Staff putting it together mislabeled those, got them confused. So worked with congressional offices like Congressman Boebert's office, along with some of the state leads to get these counties off the list. So the good news is this list has been taken down completely from the White House website, because none of our seven counties are sanctuary cities to for immigration. So we wanted to make sure that was clear, because this list will... the fear is be used then when they're cutting federal funds. And it's also just not true of what we're out here. So we did get that list updated, worked with the sheriffs as well. I know we're adamant of making sure that we got that news out, just so that way people knew what the truth was and they weren't just going by a list that unfortunately had a lot of false information.
Well, and I think unfortunately that's kind of where a lot of folks... maybe disillusionedness or I can't think of the word at the moment, but growing frustration is the inaccurate information or information like, I mean, that list comes out and people read that and they're like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. And so you get this mass confusion, mass misunderstanding. And then you guys, the legislators, then have to scramble to try to figure out where this information went awry and kind of backpedal from there. And so it creates extra work for extra people. And I guess what I'm getting at is it's not overly efficient, and it's, I think, maybe muddying the waters for the average person.
Correct. Proud to say that we got the list down within 36 hours because we, across Colorado, now it tended to be a lot of the rural counties that stood together and, raised saying, no, this isn't true. Raised it, flagging it for the Trump administration, and other states did it as well, just saying, that's why they took the whole list down. But it does, then leave that bad taste of people see it somewhere, it stays in their head, especially out in Northeast Colorado, where we're predominantly, all of our counties out here are strong red. That is just a, statistical political fact. I know a lot, there's some people that don't fall into that, but if you look at the voting, and then they wonder why then, if we're predominantly red, why are we listed as a, immigration sanctuary county? And that makes a lot of confusion. People already don't trust government. They don't trust, news. Something like this just adds to that. And honestly, it's, you know, every time we take a step forward trying to get correct information on any topic, something like this, we go like three steps back.
Yeah, unfortunately, and like you said, it's not not an efficient way to get things accomplished, because then you're just having to go back and patch up the holes and then start fresh again. So good to know that that was remedied rather quickly, and now you guys can move forward in a positive direction. What else is on your radar as we work into summer?
We are closely watching what the what's happening at the federal level. The governor did put out a statement, if not yesterday, the day before, blaming the federal level that we are going to lose federal funds. Unfortunately, we saw this coming down, and we battled this. I mean, this was probably even more so than the gun debates. We debated more on a lot of risky bills, especially as it relates to immigration, and going against the Constitution, so some of the Second Amendment, of if we do this bill in Colorado, we're going to lose federal funding for this aspect. We try to warn everybody saying, you know, if you don't listen, you don't get the money. Because any government money, state, federal, local, always has some tie of you have to, you know, check certain boxes. It's like a job. It's like a chore. If you're going to get money, you have to do something. Meaning you have to, in this case, we have to follow federal law. We did a lot of bills that went against this. The Colorado House Republicans raised a lot of arms. We did countless hours and amendments trying to fix this so we didn't end up in the situation. Unfortunately, after the governor signed a few of these bills, it has came down the pipeline that we're going to now lose federal funding. So we're trying to figure out how do we fix that, because as of right now, it'll be the taxpayer dollars that are taxpayers that are going to suffer. We're trying to figure out a way that we are not jeopardizing Coloradans just because the majority in the House and the majority in the Senate, along with our governor, decided that rules don't apply to them, but they still want the money. They planned for the money. We're not going to get the federal money now because they didn't listen to the rules. And it's going to be a very interesting summer moving into fall with probably a special session, if I had to guess. We haven't heard anything. That's just my inclination. When you're playing with this much money, which affects everyone's livelihoods and businesses.
That's really interesting, especially considering the amount of work that had to be done at the state level to balance the budget going into this next year as it was. So kind of a little scary to think that there's going to be even less funding available amidst a budget shortfall.
We're looking at a solid $500 million right now. Now, that's the low end, as, you know, JBC and everyone works to see what's happening. Is going to go bigger. The very frustrating thing is one simple amendment that we should be putting on up every bill, in my opinion, just as a safety net warning, is it's called a non-severability clause. Which means anything found in a bill that we do at the state level that becomes law, if any of it's found unconstitutional or to go against the federal government, it will automatically make that whole bill or that whole law that just came into place void. So we don't have to risk losing funds. If, you know, that bill never is, you know, found unconstitutional, it never goes against the federal. It's just a safety warning saying, caution, your coffee is hot. That's all it really was, and unfortunately, we couldn't get that onto as any of the bills this year, which now is going to lead to, right now, $500 million. That's projected to go higher. We're going to be in the billions by the time we start next session on more cuts that are going to come.
Scary stuff indeed. Dusty, we've got just a couple of more minutes left. Let's end on a little more positive note. We're closing in on fair season, and I know you've been making the rounds for various events and activities, but I also know that you're a big fan of county fair season, and you like to make the rounds there as well.
Yes, and I'm excited this year. I was boots on the ground at all the fairs. Just to hang out. I grew up with them. I'm excited this year. I get to help judge some of them in Morgan County. I'm going to work Logan County's fair again this year. Found some other volunteering aspects with other respective counties, whether it's just helping them set up or clean up. some of their stands and their tables to things like that. I'll be coming out with the flyer later for if people are like me and you like to fair hop, all 7 county fairs I'll list on this poster just so you don't have to go and try to find them in different sections. I think it's one of the funner times, if not the funnest time of the year. Kind of competes with National Western Stock Show, but definitely love being out in the fair and out in this way. Most likely I'll be there. So if people want to reach out, also, like I said, I want to hear from people. So, it's the best time is you're probably going to find me at a fair.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to catching up with you, come fair time. And, again, like you said, if folks need to find you, just find a county fair. Odds are you'll probably track Dusty down there somewhere.
Yes, it's, you'll find me somewhere there. I'm a loud enough person. I don't think you'll miss me. If you do, you can always look up, you know, and send me a text or a call on my cell phone. But yeah, I'll be around. I'm excited. And I'll see you. I know I'll be there at least, you know, every day for the Logan County one. So that's the easiest way if you're in Logan County. Respective other counties working it around. And if you have questions on which day I'll be there, happy to plan something ahead of time.
And you did mention before we went on that you you do like to list most of those on your website as well.
Correct. Yep, I'll be listing those. That's on my one of the top agendas for today, actually. So I'll be posting that relatively soon, if not this weekend, by early next week. One, just to make it easier for people, especially those, you know, our families cross, you know, county lines. Instead of having to try to find the multiple Facebooks or websites, hoping to be a one-stop shop, at least for these fair dates, so you can have a better idea when planning your summer adventure.
Absolutely. Well, Dusty, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day today. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Always look forward to these. And then between now and then, listening to see what, you know, the hot news is, just so we can help keep people with the correct information informed.
Without a doubt. Once again, State Representative Dusty Johnson is our guest here on Northeast Colorado Talks. And I'm Chris Brom on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR, streaming online at KSIR.com.